Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
In Jacksonville, in Jacksonville, in Jacksonville, Jacksonville's Florida. No matter where you come from, no matter who you are, when you're in Jacksonville, you can feel like a star.
They say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year we took it to the limit. And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then. We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Troy Brown in studio at 7 o'clock for the entirety of the hour as we go over the loss yesterday in Jacksonville. Did you know it was hot there?
They mentioned that a few times.
Yeah.
All I know is that while I was watching it, the only thing that would make me feel a bit better is that that lady right there maybe was having a pretty good day.
Took it to the limit.
And she was maybe sitting outside of the stadium and watching it on some sort of television at a sports bar.
Or just like at a fountain.
Yeah, just like hearing the sounds echo off the empty alleyway that she was just kind of rambling through.
That's true.
Certainly not.
I picture her sitting next to a big fountain, you know, that's got cracks in it, and she's sitting with her back up against the side of it with one small transistor radio.
Yeah,
that's how I see it.
I think when they first interviewed her, she was near a fountain, at least.
Okay.
Fountain adjacent.
That's right.
Is what she had going.
It's the only thing that kind of warmed my heart during that game, which was tough to watch, but I was just thinking that she's probably sitting there just kind of looking around and doing her thing with her
eyes.
I
was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, the thing about that game actually was not a slog because you had two teams who were actually having drives. When you go watch a game where it's just awful and three and outs and injuries and replays.
Well, there were some big plays, too, which kept it interesting. And all of them pretty much were from Jacksonville. But, I mean, you're right. It wasn't one that kept dying in front of you.
I watched I had a baseball game to coach, and I came back, and it was before the Patriots game, so I attempted to watch the Jets-Dolphins, and I'm like, I'm not watching this. It's a slog.
Yeah.
It's just boring.
The Jets have an explosive offense. Explosive.
Well, they scored 48 points the other day,
they
John.
Did.
So let's
they
get
did.
A little...
They did. I'm saying. It didn't look new. I was kind of teasing him because it didn't look that explosive yesterday.
Well, here's the thing is that I think, like everyone, I expected Sam Darnold to be a superstar every week of his season that he's playing as a 21-year-old in the NFL.
He's a 21-year-old, so.
I mean, it's like...
I assume he was going to be great.
At some point, I think we all realize that he's not going to, you know, be as great as he was at first game. But, I mean, that you're right. I watched a little bit of that as well, and that was just not fun. I mean, there were some great games in the NFL. That was not one of them yesterday.
No, a bad football game is worse than any other kind of bad game in any other sport.
Ooh, baseball. Baseball's
See,
worse.
Baseball is different because there's always something happening. Like the pitcher throws the ball within 30 seconds of getting it. The thing is, especially live, We've gotten to the point in the NFL where baseball is more fun to be at a game than football, because football, there's just long, excruciating stoppages that they're just standing around.
And you know what? It's a matter of personal preference, but I'd rather watch a bad. I don't want to watch either one because they're both awful. But I'd rather watch a bad football game than a bad baseball game.
And also, I'm not watching a baseball game from tip to tail. I mean,
John Wallach. I mean, you know,
you pop in and out. Even John's not sitting there staring at it.
Not every game. No,
I'm not.
There are games I will go two or three nights in a row where I do, but it's true. It's not my choice.
All right. What is this, Matthew? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, good morning.
I was talking to my mother over the weekend, and she was telling me about on Friday her company had like an employee appreciation day with like games and food, and it ended with a trivia contest. And I asked her how it went. And she said it was really great, but the host was very loud and super corny.
Real quick, before you even say it, does this happen to be somebody who every once in a while does the updates and stares creepily into the television cameras?
Is this one who steals the value of stolen valor and wrestling?
This was indeed Mike Sarge Riley trivia.
Uh-huh.
So for your weddings and corporate events, you can book Sarge to do whatever you need. So
the best is when Sarge was on here and he's like, I do weddings. And we're like, for how much? And he's like 600 or something. He's like 600, whatever it was. And I go, wow, that seems like a lot. And he goes, well, I'll negotiate. So I'll take less. Just let everyone know.
That's right.
We can get that down to $5.
Yeah. So he's just doing like corporate gigs now? Is that it?
He hustles. You know, Sarge has got his own trivia company. He's got a DJ service.
Right.
He's our own local Pauly D.
Yes, he is.
Yes,
he is. Making all the girls' panties drop.
Yep. And then he goes, when this beat drops, I spend a lot of time on Saturday watching the Jersey Shore. A lot of time with my kids watching the Jersey Shore. You know, in the beginning of that, Sammy goes, I'm the sweetest bitch you'll ever meet. And then the J-Wow goes, I have sex with guys and then I rip their heads off. And you're like, okay.
And they became instantly famous.
Yeah, but didn't you? But if you watch enough of it, it becomes kind of entertaining because Ronnie's constantly crying.
Mm-hmm.
He's constantly crying. He's crying in every single episode. Ronnie from the first episode to the seventh season, he's crying. 10 years have gone by, and he just sits there crying. I suggest people who haven't revisited Jersey Shore to do so.
I just remember the first season being fantastic. I didn't watch anything past the first season. I haven't seen the reunions.
There's only one season that sucked, and that was Italy, because everywhere they went, they just got heckled, so they couldn't go anywhere, so they were basically just in the house.
Actually sounds kind of funny. Did they film the heckling?
Yeah, but I mean, if you can't do anything, if you're just stuck in a room. And they've all had this like tremendous amount of plastic surgery, and they all look ridiculous. Pretty good. Vincenzo, he was single in this one. Him and Pauly D, they were Smash Brothers.
Is that what they were called?
Yeah, because they go out and they smash.
Super Smash Brothers, yes. Yeah,
that's right. The situation doesn't drink anymore, but he loves to eat.
Didn't he, like in this new reunion thing, didn't they talk about him evading his taxes and getting arrested?
Oh, yeah. He talks about, he doesn't go into great detail about it, but it's acknowledged.
Okay.
And they tease him about it.
Like, he went to jail, right?
Has that case been settled?
I don't know if it has, but I thought that he actually, like, went to jail for a little bit. I mean, not for long, but I think he did get arrested.
Because Ronnie's girlfriend, or baby mama, got arrested from dragging him in a car. She kicked him out of a car, but he couldn't get his seatbelt off, so she just started flooring it and dragged Ronnie down the street.
God.
Like, once you get going with it, it's very difficult to stop.
Oh, God. And the girls are all put together now, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they look great.
No, I mean, but they're like normal. They're not. They've kind of. Oh, they're not. Oh, okay.
I think Fred's point was they went in the opposite direction.
No. See, I from what I had heard, like Snooki's like not like a mess anymore.
No, they just get hammered every day.
Oh, okay.
While they're out there.
Okay.
No, Snooki has kids and JWoww has kids, but when she has sex with guys, she rips the head off. Yeah, Snooki's married to Johnny. But he's mad at Vinny because Vinny slept with Snooki in one of the first seasons. It's a situation that's very difficult to get past.
Hmm.
All right. Well, we will talk about the game yesterday. Not a total surprise. Maybe a surprise on how well Blake Bortles played.
Well, I think it was a surprise that it was just a failure everywhere. Everywhere.
Bortles was shockingly good. I've never seen him play like that ever.
You could make an argument that he threw one bad pass.
Yeah, his one interception wasn't his fault.
Nah, he shouldn't have put it in there.
Well, he jammed it in the coverage, but put it that way, it shouldn't have been an interception.
You could also make an argument he got no pressure on him.
Well, he wasn't sacked
at all.
But there have been lots of times where the Patriots or anyone else didn't get pressure on him, and he was just god-awful throwing the football down the field.
Right.
There was a reason why the Patriots stacked the box. They didn't think that he could beat them man-to-man.
Yeah, they dared him to beat him.
And he was brilliant yesterday.
Yeah, and there's sometimes reasons why you don't line up and attack the quarterback is that you're putting everyone back to try to confuse them.
No, the Patriots blitzed. They couldn't get to him. They couldn't get to him with a four-man rush, and then Flowers left in the first half.
Yeah, once you lose Flowers, you're pretty much screwed. And Eric Rowe got benched after a couple series, so
deservedly so.
Yeah, this is did not look like a championship defense yesterday against a team that didn't have their top running back and has lost their best receiver. It did not look like a team that was championship ready, but this has happened in the past. We will continue to talk about that. 617-779-0985. We will discuss the Patriots in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich. Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What's up? We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, big sports day yesterday in the town of Bean.
Yes, it was. And what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. The flavors of fall. Everyone loves it finally dropped at Dunkin'. So come in today for your flavor favorite like pumpkin and maple. Price and participation may vary. Congrats, Patriots. You let Blake Bortles have the best game of his career.
Snap to Bortles. Looks left. Now he throws across the middle to a wide open D.D. Westbrook to the 50. Cuts left. Off a hit by Van Noy. Runs down the left sideline. 25-20. 15-10. To the 5 to the end zone. Touchdown Jacksonville. A dagger.
Well, you had your shot. Blake Bortles with 4 touchdown passes.
Wow.
This just sums up the day and the way it's gone.
Well, much like the city of Jacksonville, the Patriots reeked of failure and depression as they threw up all over themselves in yesterday's 31-20 loss to the Jaguars. With a heat index of 107 degrees on the field, it was as if the Patriots were playing in quicksand on defense. And that suffocating D from last week against Deshaun Watson seemed like 10 years ago, with Bortles not being sacked even once and only hit 4 times. On top of that, how do you let Blake effing Bortles throw for 377 yards?
Bortles throws it down the left side for Cole. Reaching up with a one-handed snag. And he makes a tumbling catch. Oh. Rolling along the sideline to the 46. What a sensational play by Keelan Cole. Covered by Eric Rowe.
Rowe's helmet is turned. And he has no clue where the ball is. Cole goes up with the right hand behind him. The ball's about a foot behind him and up above the head. Snags it with the right hand, juggles it, takes it down.
Well, we're only 2 weeks in, and that was the catch of the year. Secondary and linebackers continuing to get pants throughout the game. There always seemed to be someone open, and that person always seemed to get about an extra 5 to 10 yards more than they should have. And how about that offense, huh?
Patterson, in motion wide to left. Brady takes the snap. He backs up and screens it left for Patterson, makes the catch, and then he toppled over. He lost his balance and fell at the 28-yard line. He was eventually touched up there by DJ Hayden. Missed opportunity for the Patriots.
Thinking too much. He's out there in space.
I've never seen a guy who can run as fast as Patterson be that uncoordinated.
There's a reason why
they kept handing him the football. And if they dare to throw it to him, bad things happen immediately. It's amazing.
Because he can't get going. Like, he's got great straight-line speed, but he can never get going.
They threw the ball to him out in the flat, and he fell down. He fell down with 4 yards of space. It wasn't like he was being covered, and he had to look and say, oh, my God, I'm about to be hit. He fell down. I've never seen that before from a guy like that.
If you're one of those people in the offseason who thought Brady didn't have enough weapons going into the year, well, yesterday was your Coachella, because Tom Brady completed a grand total of one pass for over 10 yards yesterday. Even worse, the Jaguars held the Patriots to 3 points in the first half. And if you're wondering whether Jalen Ramsey was going to be able to back up his trash talk all week on Rob Gronkowski, well, Gronk was held to just 2 catches for 15 yards. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but last week, didn't we see Rob Gronkowski in double and triple coverage and Brady would just chuck it up and somehow Gronk would be able to jump up and catch it? How does only 2 receptions the whole game happen when you have a monster like Rob Gronkowski?
And Ramsey wasn't even on him for 80% of the time. There were times where Gronk flanked out and Ramsey took him out near the sideline, as you knew he would. I mean, if Gronk's going to line up as a wide receiver, yeah, you send Ramsey out there, but most times, linebackers and second and third cornerbacks took care of him yesterday.
Well, they were double-teaming him a lot. But Brady looked scared for the end of that first half.
That's what have we said since we've come on the air? The way to get to Brady is to make him uncomfortable. You get pressure up the middle. And anytime any team could get any pressure on Brady with 4 guys and not have to blitz, game's over. Offensive line was horrible. I mean, you didn't really notice that Marcus Cannon wasn't there until the game really mattered. Then Dante Fowler sped right by him and got the strip sack that ended the Patriots' last chance.
No, but they hit him a lot in that first half, you could tell he was a little gun-shy at that point.
You don't see it that much, but Jacksonville's got the defensive front to do it. I mean, they were dominant. And the best part about Jacksonville is when they had the lead, they didn't run the football. They just kept going for the throat. It was a great offensive game plan.
Well, they got crapped on for that in the AFC Championship game.
But they did it right this time.
Well, and also their handoffs were little screens and stuff like that. They were just, you know, little passes to running backs.
But the worst sin in Bill Belichick's eyes may have been the shortcomings of his special teams.
And now he's standing on the far hash of the 5 to our left. Early movement by the Jaguars off the right side, but the Patriots did not snap it. Jacksonville gets back onside. Snap to Allen, left-footed punt. Sails in the direction of Brett. Okay. Back pedals under it at the 23. Starts upfield. Runs right past John Jones. Gets a block across the 35. And he dives out to the 40-yard line.
See, that right there could have changed the game. So that was the play where the Jaguars player jumps into the neutral zone on a punt with 8 minutes left. No one snapped the ball or touched the player to get the penalty. Just a big old pile of garbage from New England. And I know they spent some time on that in the broadcast. And you know that Bill Belichick and how much his special teams, that's his thing.
He's going nuts on the sideline.
Losing his mind.
There was a point when McDaniels was screaming at the offense.
It was great.
And I just was wondering what that
His face is about to explode, but do you really think anybody on that sideline took him seriously?
How are you not laughing at that high-pitched voice?
Honest to God.
It's like, first they showed Brady, and Brady's like by himself yelling, and then like, you know, I'll take care of it, Tommy! And then he went, being yelled at by, you know, Alvin. So here is Bill Belichick afterwards.
Was there any thought of going forward on 4th and 1?
We started the punt.
Did you think that encroachment or offside could have been called on the punt?
What are we talking about?
When the Jaguars jumped, when you guys landed the punt, 19, 4th and 1?
No, he was back before the ball was snapped.
Do you think your team could have moved?
There's a lot of things we could have done better today. A lot of them, long list.
Yeah.
Now go home and get your shine box.
I love Bill Belichick standing there pretending like he wasn't freaking out when that happened, too.
He was on TV doing it.
I think we all saw him right there in front of us on the HD while Tom Brady was asked about the play where Patterson slipped and fell on third down.
The third down before we attempted the field goal, and we had Cordell wide open and could have been a touchdown, you know, but I ended up throwing it away, and the game's different if I complete that pass and he runs 40 yards for a touchdown. So, you know, it's a lot of little things, but little things all add up and add up to a loss, and, you know, it feels for all of us, and got to go back home and do a lot better job.
Yeah, did he drop an S-bomb at the press conference?
Andrew Dice Brady.
Well, that's not some namby-pamby BS, as Jim Gray would say while interviewing.
No, that's hitting straight to the bone.
Mm-hmm. Well, Austin Safari and Jenkins, he realizes that this team's got a little something going on called swagger.
We knew he was
going
to beat him. Simple as that. Just another game to us, man.
The Patriots defense, you've gone against a couple different versions. What do you think about this one?
They get new players every year. They have good coaches. They play man-to-man. Whoever starts beating their ass in man-to-man, they go to zone. They're smart. They make different personnel packages and move people to different places. I don't know. We know what they're doing. We're better at it.
All right, so... it's great. I love that.
Safari and Jenkins.
It's like we know what they're doing. We're just better at it.
He's had nothing but success.
I'm just going to say, of all the people to talk crap, this guy. Sure. All right, that's fine.
Jalen Ramsey, I can take.
What time of year is it again? It's September what? September 17th.
This game has implications.
It does. Yeah. It means the Patriots, if all works out and the Patriots play like they normally play every year, will be in Jacksonville for the AFC Championship game. That's what we're looking at. But might I remind everyone who thinks the sky is falling this morning, this happens every single year.
Sure.
The Patriots in the first 6 weeks of the season play one game where you look at them and go, holy crap, I can't believe that just happened. They got their doors blown off by Kansas City in the season opener last year. I mean, it happens.
I understand,
every
but
year.
This is a team that you might have identical record with. And
sure.
They beat you head-to-head.
Yep.
And, you know, they're up a game on you right now. And I understand what the Patriots do and that they don't open. Well, they opened up the playbook yesterday. I mean, they were doing all kinds of shenanigans. They were putting Devlin out and, you know, using him as a decoy and then actually throwing to him. They were lining him up at receiver.
Yeah. I mean, look, you're right. They were digging really deep in the playbook because they could get nothing done against that Jacksonville defense. And Jacksonville really tried to let them back in the game, and the Patriots are incapable of doing that. But, Fred, I think you'll agree that just because Jacksonville blew their doors off here doesn't necessarily mean they'll be there at the end. They are strong. They are talented. Absolutely. They were in the AFC Championship game last year, but it's only week two.
This is funny. Greg Bedard talked to Sean Gibson, who is the safety for the Jaguars, and he was basically the guy who was mostly on Rob Gronkowski, and it seemed like he was as confused as anyone why Gronk wasn't more involved. He said, quote, "The crazy part about it is he has 7 inches on me." He said, "Last week Brady threw one ball into triple coverage and Gronkowski came down with it." He said, "On top of that, he kept pulling down balls in double coverage. It was a bit surprising, but I don't want to give myself too much credit, but maybe Tom Brady did see me out there. I was a bit surprised, especially inside the 25 with the opportunities he didn't give Gronk. I was definitely expecting more opportunities. Gronk, man, he's definitely a phenomenal talent. You use him. Tom Brady's the type to give his best players the ball, so I was a bit shocked, but I can't complain to help us win."
There you go. That's the truth. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
There is a certain player that is now being spoken of. Everyone wants a new receiver here, and there might be one of the most talented guys out there on the market who is somewhat of a mess.
Somewhat?
The Patriots might have their eye on. Burt Breer actually spoke about the possibility during the pregame. We will get to that.
All right, here are the headlines.
Miss something?
You know what that means.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Mankind became stupider.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else is going on?
Well, there was a lot of bad crap, insane stuff that happened in the NFL this weekend, which we'll get to in a little bit. But one interesting tidbit of news was that on Saturday, the Browns announced that today they're going to release Josh Gordon. According to reports, he injured his hamstring on Friday at a promotional photo shoot, not for the team, but for himself. And then after being late to practice on Saturday, the team said enough's enough and decided to cut ties. They are, however, right now reportedly looking for a trade partner. And before the game yesterday, Mark Bertrand and Chris Gasper talked to Burt Breer about the possibility of seeing Josh in New England.
If you put him on New England's roster right now,
yeah,
he is the most talented player on the roster.
So if you're the Patriots, Chris and I have both said no, take a pass. Right. What would you do?
I think they're one of the few teams that can really look at this legitimately. It's different when you're doing it in September and the guy's going to come in and play a role because if he's on your 53... he's going to have to play a role. Now you're going week to week. Like, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Like, there's that, all of that. And not every team can absorb that. The Patriots, I think, are one of the few teams that has the infrastructure to absorb that, which is why, as I understand it, they're at least doing their research right now. And you would think, based on the fact that Michael Lombardi was there for his most productive season, that they would be able to gather some good background information.
I like the fact that they're at least doing research on him, which I find interesting. I want somebody like Dez or Josh Gordon to come here just because it's an interesting storyline.
Well, Josh Gordon is way better than Dez.
Well, of course he is. I mean, he's wildly talented, but then again, how many games has he played over the last several seasons? I mean,
five last year.
And then
he was suspended the year before.
Yeah,
correct.
So he is a person who has had obviously personal issues, but this just sounds like irresponsibility. I don't know how the hamstring thing happened, but he didn't show up on time for Saturday.
And neither did the Browns.
Yeah,
that's why.
It's why
they got rid of him, because they weren't sure what happened to him. I was dancing. I was dancing, damn it.
From everything I'm hearing, this was kind of a situation. I don't know who said this, but I heard someone say that the Browns looked at Josh Gordon. If they could get anything out of it, it was just going to be a bonus, and that they believed it was just a wasted player, and they crossed their fingers, and this was just the last straw of a million last straws, and they said, all right, we've had enough.
You know how long he's been in a league? He's been in a league 6 years.
God, that's crazy.
How many games has he played? Yeah, how many games?
Yeah, that's a good question.
41.
Wow.
One this year, five last year, suspended for 2015, five in 2014. And that was after he had that monster year for Cleveland. And that was 2013. That was 5 years ago that he had that big. And how many chances did Cleveland give him? Eight, nine, ten? I mean,
well, they've given him 8 years of chances until this year. Was it? What he did pretty well in week one, if I'm not mistaken.
He didn't catch a lot of balls
this year.
He had a touchdown.
He had
one catch.
Yeah, and it was a touchdown. Okay, yeah. Well, that's the highlight. That's why I thought he did okay, because I remember seeing all the highlights. I didn't watch the entire Browns Steelers game.
No one does.
We saw the end of it.
One catch.
No. And he wasn't supposed to start. Do you remember that? How Hugh Jackson basically called out Todd Haley at the beginning of the game because he can't control his own team. And said he wasn't going to start. And then he was like, yeah, but Todd Haley put him in anyway. So
18 catches in five games last year. He's wildly talented, but you can't bring him in. You can't. You're going to get nothing out of him. You're going to get, for us, it'd be great. But for the Patriots, you're going to get nothing out of him. And Troy Brown will tell you, any wide receiver that comes in late is way behind, especially now, way behind on the learning curve. How much of an impact is he really going to give you? That's if he manages to stay clean, 95% chance that doesn't happen.
Let's say they're both available for the veteran minimum, Dez Bryant and Josh Gordon. Who do you go with?
Right now, because you might actually get something out of him, Dez Bryant.
Oh, I see. I go Josh Gordon.
Yeah, I go Josh Gordon, too.
Me, too. I mean, because he's so talented. Because just if there's a chance, a small chance that you could get him to work, I just don't think Dez Bryant, as everyone says,
wide receiver
could fit into the system.
No,
whereas Josh Gordon...
How do you know Josh
enough?
Gordon will fit into this system?
Well, put it this way. He's so talented that maybe they could find a way to make him work. Sometimes you have guys that talented that you find
Cordero
a way to make
Patterson
him work.
Has a specific skill set, and that's the exact reason they brought him in. Because, you know, he's so wildly athletically talented, they'll figure out a way to get him involved in
don't
the offense.
You put those two in the same sentence.
It's the same theory. It's the same theory. And you know what? Patterson will actually play for you on Sunday. You won't have to worry about where he is. Or what he's done, or what could happen to him the next day. I do not want Josh Gordon here.
There's
not
just part
chance.
Of me that thinks that you almost can't believe anything if they don't work for the Cleveland Browns. It's such a bad organization. It's like
this goes above and beyond that. There are a lot of guys that have played in Cleveland, and he's the only one that's had this amount of trouble.
And Cleveland hasn't been terrible this year so far.
No, they should be 2-0.
Lost one, tied one.
Cleveland should be 2-0.
Oh, if they had a decent kicker, absolutely they should be 2-0.
They should be 2-0.
Well, Chris Sale is slowly, and I mean slowly, getting back to being his old self again.
Snap is in place. Swing of the right.
That's not it. That's a different club. There you go. Wrong sport.
Mm-hmm. There's a drive out to right. That's hit deep. Nemo back turning. Kiss that one goodbye. Brock Holt is on some kind of roll.
Brock Holt, a.k.a. Brockstar. I tell you what, there'd be some people in jeopardy if there was a mayor vote right now. Decides to go deep off Jacob DeGrom.
Did you see Johnny Gomes dressed as a Christmas present on, I think it was Friday night?
No hyperbole.
Oh.
They better hope this guy doesn't run for mayor. Brockhold Fever is
back. He does have a little rucker in him, doesn't he?
Yeah. Brockhold Fever has got everyone going crazy.
I have a clip here that's just called Betts Gets Hurt, Gomes Sounds Weird. Okay. Let's listen to it, shall we?
Line to right again. Here comes Mookie again. He'll make the catch.
He's coming.
Here he comes. Here's the throw. They let it come through. Play at the plate. He swipes and won't get him. And Jackson is in to score. It took one hop too many.
I think they're checking on Mookie.
Alex Cora is going to send a trainer out.
Maybe a left oblique.
He's coming out.
Yeah, maybe.
Day is done for Mookie Betts.
Can you just get that dink from checking on Mookie?
He sounds drunk. No, he just sounds like he's, you know, the quiet storm.
That's right.
I think they're looking at Mookie.
Right. He's going to play us, a little song by, I don't know, Come to me, let me put my
Peebo
arms
Bryson?
Around you. Is that Peebo Bryson?
I think it's Peebo Vandross.
He's about to play some Luther Vandross.
Oh, it's Luther. All right. He's a one. Is.
Well, the Sox rally late to beat the Mets 4-3 yesterday at Fenway, but the big story is the ramping up of Chris Sale's pitch count amidst concerns that he may not be ready to come, come playoff time in just over 2 weeks. The good news, Sale pitched 3 scoreless innings, which is 2 innings more than his last time out. The bad news, his velocity is down. And he only has 2 scheduled starts left to get right before the postseason starts on October 5th.
No problem. I'm sure he'll be fine.
Here's Chris Sale afterwards.
I mean, I feel 100%. I wouldn't be going out there if I wasn't. So, you know, like I said, this is just part of the process of building up. It's not that I'm still injured or still hurting at all. It's just can't sit out 3 weeks and go pitch, you know, 9 innings.
Chances they can get him up to 8 innings within 2 starts, John Wallace.
0.
Yep.
0. He's going to go 6 innings in game 1, and then the fun starts, you know? Game 1 against the Yankees, 2 weeks from Friday, October 5th, Chris Sale will start. He'll go 6 innings. He'll probably be very, very good. He'll give up a run, and the Red Sox will be up, you know, 3-1 or 4-1, and then they'll bring in Joe Kelly and Heath Hembree and, you know, I guess maybe Tyler Thornburg if they decide to carry him on the roster, and Ryan Brazier, and then 6 outs later, the game will be tied or the Red Sox will be down by 1. That's the way it's going to go. Get ready. I mean, the Sox offense, they're going to have to figure out a way to score off really good pitching for the balance of October. Now, give this lineup credit. They beat Jacob DeGrom yesterday. That's not easy to do. I mean, even though he's sub 500, they're talking about him for a Cy Young Award over the National League. But still, I mean, you're facing the Yankees. You're facing Cleveland. Maybe you play Oakland. All these teams are good. And you have to figure out a way to score 5 or 6 runs a game.
What do you think about that, Johnny Gomes?
I think they're checking on Mookie.
They're checking on Mookie. All right, Rich, what else do we have on the way?
Well, the Bruins had a little preseason action. By the way, how about Wednesday morning? You're going to hear some Bruins right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, and we have to stay. Be listening at 6:50 for your chance to score 6-pack of passes to the Harpoon Oktoberfest September 28th and 29th at the Harpoon Brewery. HarpoonBrewery.com. Harpoon. Did I say heartburn? HarpoonBrewery.com for more info. That's coming up at 6:50.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're touching in Rich, car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group. Contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a 6-pack of passes to the Harpoon Oktoberfest September 28th and 29th at Harpoon Brewery. HarpoonBrewery.com. For more info.
Well, we had a little preseason Bruins action at the TD Garden yesterday. It was the Bruins, who aren't in China right now, versus the Washington Capitals you wouldn't recognize. And in the end, the Bruins win in OT, 2-1 the final score. 18-year-old Jacob Lauko, am I saying that correct?
I think it's Lauko.
Is it Lauko?
Close enough.
All right, well, he scored the team's lone goal in regulation. And more than anything, here's a reminder that Wednesday morning in this very show, starting at 7:30 a.m., we have Bruins hockey live from China. So who's over there? Because I know that Char is here. I know that Patrice didn't travel.
Krejci's not here. And Marchand are there.
Okay.
Rask is there. Halak, the backup goaltender, is there.
Okay.
I mean, they're guys. They're, actually, you could argue there are many more recognizable guys in China than there are here.
Okay, so the 3 that are back, Krejci, Patrice, and Chara.
Krug, too.
Krug's here too?
Krug is here too. Okay. He's coming back from ankle surgery.
That's
though,
right. And so then everyone else is out in China. I did not.
Apparently, Bergeron has had a setback. A little setback with his groin.
That's what we are hearing. So we will see how all that goes. I know that they've got a couple practices at Warrior Ice, and then I believe they take off to the ones that aren't in China take off to Washington to
tomorrow.
Play them. Tomorrow.
They play there tomorrow night.
You know, the 7:30 game is cool, and I thought that we were going to be able to leave at 7:30, but then we have photos at 10.
That's going to be... So
yeah, the one morning
for that,
one morning that there's something that might preempt this program. You guys are. I mean, I have to stay anyway, but you guys could have left.
And then, of course, we are going to be here, just kind of hanging out.
You gotta
we'll feel like Adam
outfits.
Jones for a day.
Yes, four outfits.
You got to bring four outfits.
Yes, I heard.
That's what they say.
Collar. Got to bring collared shirts, Rich.
I'm not wearing a collared shirt.
Got to. Boss told us collared shirts.
I don't know. There was something that was a follow up email that said you don't have to.
Well, no, you can wear a polo. You can wear a polo shirt.
Here you go, John Wallach. How many days a week out of the year? How many days out of the year do you see me wearing a collared
shirt?
The
only time I've ever seen you wear a collared shirt in 9 years that we've worked together was after the marathon bombings when you couldn't get back in your house.
Okay.
And you had to buy shirts from somewhere else and you were stuck at a gift shop somewhere.
Right. And there was one time where afterwards I was going to a funeral.
Yes, that's right.
That's it.
Twice.
I never wear collared shirts. Why would I wear a collared shirt in our photo?
You have golf shirts, though, like polos.
But when I never wear them.
Not allowed to wear logos, though. No logos on the shirts.
No, you can't find a shirt with no logos. So, no, I think when they say logos, like no, like, Pepsi shirt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. I mean,
fair enough. What golf shirt or polo shirt doesn't have a logo on it?
Well, you know, they just don't want the Big Johnson t-shirts.
That's right.
Well, you know, or...
I don't know why.
Ron John
Surf Shops. You know you're in the greatest place in an island. They drop you by a Ron John's.
Yeah, I don't wear collared shirts ever, so why would I wear it in my photo?
They said no t-shirts if they don't photograph well.
Okay, and as long as you don't have to hold a bat. Then I'm cool.
I insist that I do.
Yeah. All right. Well, Floyd Mayweather says he's coming out of retirement to fight Manny Pacquiao in the "You've got to be out of your effing mind if you spend a dollar on this fight." Now, I saw the first one and I paid for it because I knew it was going to be a cultural event, and you know what? A ton of people watch it, and it was awful. And I don't regret it because I kind of knew what I was getting into.
So, how much did you pay for the Mayweather Pacquiao?
How much was Mayweather Pacquiao? Was that like a $70 fight?
Okay, and then you followed that up by spending money on Mayweather and McGregor, right?
Which was great.
And how much money was that?
At least that was entertaining.
That was 100, right?
That was a little less than 100. Yeah.
That was like 99.99.
But there was a bunch of people that I watched it with. So,
okay.
I mean, you know, that's how you're supposed to
and
do.
And now...
The Adolf Man was there.
That's right. Swearing up a storm in front of your kids, if I remember correctly.
He completely gets it. But this fight, you are out of your mind because you know how awful the first one was, and they've just gotten older and more retired. Why would you? Okay, so Floyd Mayweather said he's going to get a 9-figure payday for this.
By the way, that was the second sentence of the response. So, Floyd, you're going to come out of retirement and face Pacquiao? I said, yeah, you know, I beat him once before. Another 9-figure payday for me. That's the those were the first words out of his mouth.
There's no way he gets 9 figures for
this. Hey, you never underestimate the stupidity of a mob. Seriously. Oh, it's Floyd Mayweather. Oh, we got to watch this. But Mayweather Pacquiao, except that it's not 9 years ago when both of them were in their prime.
And here's the only
Mayweather
other thing.
Mayweather wouldn't fight him when he was in his prime.
That's exactly right.
But the only thing that's weird about all this is that Pacquiao has this crazy like following of people who are just diehard about him. Even at 39 years old, I think that you're going to get a decent amount of buys just by this. And it might not even be like, you know, people like internationally, you might get a ton of money from this fight.
He's Pacquiao's been hanging on. That's what he's been doing. And it's sad because he was a great champion. He's been hanging on for the last 5 years. You are an idiot if you spend $70, $80, $90 for this fight.
Yeah,
I don't understand what your thinking would be if you actually go ahead and do this. Floyd Mayweather, who is a brilliant businessman and knows how to read a room, is stealing money from you. He stole money from you in the McGregor fight.
That was entertaining. See, I'll stand by the McGregor fight.
I saw the fight. I didn't think it was entertaining at all.
Oh, you see, I thought it was actually entertaining.
All the ancillary stuff was. The actual event was not.
No, the fight was good.
No,
it wasn't. The fight was fun to watch.
No, it wasn't.
McGregor got a couple
McGregor
licks.
McGregor got now, two...
If you saw a fight between two normal fighters and one guy got two punches in whatever what
but
was it
was, but this wasn't 11, a 12 normal rounds? Fighter. This was a UFC fighter, and that's what made it interesting. Was it amazing? And when it was mind blowing, was it the Canelo fight or whatever fight, this weekend?
GGG Canelo. That was a very good fight. It went right down to the wire. Fight, it was fantastic.
Very controversial decision.
Correct.
You know,
again,
by the way. I think that was one of those things where people could see it either way, although most people, I think, believe that it should have been the other guy that
Golovkin
won.
Got robbed twice, once for a draw and once for a loss, but that's not the point here. Mayweather is a defensive counterpunch fighter. He's not aggressive at all, and the thing that made Pacquiao really good is that he was aggressive when he was in his prime. Now he's 39, and excuse me, he's lost a step.
Pacquiao's still fighting, right?
Yeah, I think he just won a title, actually.
Because I know for a while
title that is.
Yeah. Whatever title it is, but I think he just won one.
I have to be honest, I've just completely forgotten about Pacquiao since that Mayweather fight. But I know that for a while, apparently, it was bad times. So I guess he's
stealing money from everybody. And good for him, because there are suckers willing to pony it up. But I don't understand this. I really don't.
Plus, you know that he's going to lose all that money regardless.
Well, that I'd be eager to see.
Yeah.
Well, he's right now, the details have not been released, but Vegas has already taken odds on stupid things like when will it take place, before or after December 31st, 2018. They're betting on the total pay-per-view buys in millions. The over-under is 4.3. The money line right now, obviously, on Floyd Mayweather, and the over-under on total rounds is 11.5. So there you go.
All right.
If you're willing to just, you know what, burn money.
Doesn't knock anybody out.
Yeah, if you're ready for just to stay up till 2 in the morning to watch pretty much just boredom, feel free to give your money to that. Troy Brown is in for the next hour. If you got a phone call from a question about yesterday's game or anything around the NFL, 617-779-0985.